Magic's happening.
Early in the morning, rising to the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason. Reason things went wrong. Got to find a reason why my money's all gone. I got a Dalmatian. I can still get high. I can play the guitar like I'm.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. We are doing a special show. We're at the Missouri Sherm 2013 HR Conference at Lake of the Ozarks. And want to first of all thank Lori Mayer for hosting us and the Missouri State Conference. We've did this for a few years, and so we're here and we meet people and we talk to lots of practitioners because that's what we do every day. So let's get to our guests, because I think they are gonna with their commentary are gonna change some lives today. So, and first and foremost, want to extend a welcome to my guest co-host, Mr. Matt Charney. What's up, man?
Nothing, man. I got a Dalmatian and I can still get high and I can play the guitar like a cop. So how are you today?
Solid reference, man. Solid reference to our intro. Doing well. I appreciate you you jumping in and co-hosting. Had our buddy Dwayne Lay, who did a just blow it out keynote this morning. So just some props to him. Really enjoyed that. I've heard it multiple times, and I still enjoy listening. So I guess that's a good thing. So hey, you know what? Let's get to our guests, because this guy has so many good things to share that we don't want to take up time with just our idle chit-chat. So, Kevin Call, welcome to Drive Through HR for the very first time.
Thanks for having me.
If you would, introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and after that we'll roll up with the question, what's top of mind?
Sure. I am Kevin Call, and I am the Vice Director on the Missouri Sherm State Council, and I also, part of that role is to coordinate the conference that we are at today.
Well, that is perfect, and I think in your day job, what all do you do? Just to give the listeners
my day job
a good picture.
Is... I own my own company, and I outsource and consult small to medium-sized company HR services. So provide HR departments to smaller companies around size of 50 to 100, and then also do some consulting as needed.
Perfect. So let's jump right into it. And what currently are you hearing from your clients that you're working with that's top of mind for them in the HR world?
Probably, and it's been around now for a while, but health reform, Obamacare, and how that's going to happen. Of course, there was a buildup earlier this year with that, but there's been a couple of decisions made to delay certain parts of it, but with my clientele being medium or small to medium size, they're very interested in that, knowing how it's going to impact them and what might be the penalties or on the decisions that they make, and is that penalty actually cost effective or not?
So if you're a practitioner out there, kind of at what point, I mean, what are you telling your clients to continue to think about or shift their energy to other places because of the pause and, the pause in some of that legislation?
So me as a practitioner talking to them, we have to continue to keep up to date on it the best that we can, and kind of plan out. I mean, certainly with most of my clients, we're in the budgeting process right now for 2014, and we have to look at how that might impact things. So we are holding it in a pattern, assuming that the things that are going to happen are going to happen, and then we'll be able to react. If they don't, we'll have to be able to react accordingly.
Now, just to kind of change directions a little bit. So, what is your you've been to a lot of these conferences, and what's the thing that you enjoy and or the most value you get out of attending an HR conference?
I think probably two parts. The first, I am SPHR, and so the recertification, the opportunity to do that is certainly key, but also probably of equal value is the networking opportunities that it offers. My formal training is not in HR. I actually am more on the accounting side, and when I switched over to HR in 99, that's actually when I first got involved and came down to the conference, and it's served to be a vital role. I think over the last few years, our speakers have gone up quality-wise exponentially. I think we have a lot of great speakers here this year, a good, diverse presentation for everybody, and so those recertification credits and being able to keep on top of things are really good. You mentioned Dwayne's opening keynote this morning. Great talk. And Jeff Haven's yesterday morning was really good. And we've heard a lot of feedback from both sessions that both our hosts that are hosting today's show have given and have had great feedback. So I think it's the it's the sessions that are probably the most important, and then secondly, networking.
Now, if I can ask just, I'm curious, the follow-up question. You said that you've been coming to the show for over a decade now. In addition to the speakers, what have you really seen change about content focus-wise? Have you seen the evolution in kind of the topics that people are bringing to the table and are interested in? How has that evolution looked?
I think probably what comes to mind first is, you know, when I first got involved, it was probably more record keeping or more, basic things, you know, such as, and not that it's not pertinent. We've certainly had sessions like that, employment law update, but there's so many other things we've started to offer additional strategic senior HR qualified classes, and it's probably at that level it's getting us to the table more about business that's been the improvement, I think.
And then how effective, having had you said you have an accounting background, so obviously you're coming from a pure business side. Have you seen then the HR business acumen has followed that shift, or do you still see them as trailing when you talk to your clients and peers in the HR community? Do you see them as getting closer to that seat at the table, to use your phrase, or do you see that conversation still being led largely by the thought leadership cohort, so to speak?
I think it's getting there. I don't think it's where it needs to be, but I think it's getting there. It's certainly in my role, because with me doing small to medium-sized companies and me partnering with them, my opinion, certainly they're seeking me out. You know, they don't have to have an HR staff there, and so they're seeking me out. But as I talk to my peers at the conference each year and just in day-to-day business bouncing ideas off of them, the people that I am talking to, they're getting in and having more business and employee development conversations at higher levels within the organization. So I think it's getting there, and certainly we need what's being offered at the conference, and being able to do that and to make that migration to the upper level conversations.
So, Kevin, have you seen the kind of the person and the personality, or kind of the person that is wanting to do HR and maybe even thrive? Have you seen that change over the last 10 years at all?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we were talking about just in the previous conversation. When I got involved, it was more of a, I guess it's kind of cliches, but touchy-feely type. And it seems that the larger part of the professionals that have been walking around down here this week are more in tune to business. I think as you as I talk to students of the HR field, it is more business directed, and so the focus and the concentration is getting there. Would certainly like to see our profession continue to go to be more than just paper pushers or a lending ear. And certainly in that regard, to be a problem solver and you know, more coaching for the employees of our organizations to help them develop and become a better asset for the company.
Matt, I'll throw the question to you. Have you seen over the last few years, have you seen any shift or kind of migration in a direction on kind of personalities that are tending to kind of rise to the top within HR?
I'll take that question, I guess, a little bit more segmented. I think that HR at the top, again, my focus has been primarily at the enterprise, not the SMB level. I think that your CHRO, VP and above, kind of that senior level leadership really hasn't changed. I think that, you know, I still see that top layer as being relatively traditional. I think the people who are coming into the profession, though, particularly when you look at, you know, some of the skill sets that are needed to function in today's environment, things like, you know, data analytics, systems capabilities, as well as the entire marketing component with, you know, both being able to build an employer brand internally and then communicate it, or externally and communicate it internally. I think that because of the way the profession is evolving, to Kevin's earlier point in terms of just outcomes and needing to be our business strategy, I am seeing an influx of really, really smart people, I would say, at the bottom level or at the middle level, people who are looking at HR now from other departments as a viable opportunity, which I think is really encouraging. So it's not your traditional PHR, SPHR kind of crowd. And I am seeing, you know, a difference in approach at the tactical level, I would say, much more than the strategic.
Good. Definitely appreciate you sharing that. So, Matt, you just mentioned, you know, employer branding. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on your own session that you presented yesterday, the day all blending together.
Yeah, that was yesterday. You know, it's a talk that I've given in various iterations kind of around a bunch of state and local SHRM chapters. But what, you know, I think it's always good to be able to involve the audience and hear about their specific challenges. And I think that, you know, what I talk about is just this confluence of marketing and HR practices. So I think it's to building that business acumen, I'm always really encouraged by the feedback that people have started to approach HR as much as a branding exercise. Whether that's for recruitment or whether that's just getting that seat at the table and building internal equity and relationships. So I think that it's a pretty good and effective eye-opener. It's a very high-level overview, but it also does introduce some of the marketing concepts that you see being, you know, normally the purview of agencies kind of shifting more into an in-house model. So I thought it went well. We'll see how the evaluations back me up on that.
And I did hear you actually make a promise that you, if things went well, you were going to buy everybody in the state of Washington a Gulfstream jet. Did I misinterpret what you were, the message on that?
Well, I tell you what, if I get the entire, I think, $3.2 billion a year that North American employers spend on employer branding, if that all comes to me, then yes, I will have enough to buy everyone in the state of Washington a Gulfstream 4. Now, whether or not I'm going to do that, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the best investment, but I tell you what, $3.2 billion, nothing to sneeze at. So.
Yeah, I just sometimes need clarifications on the input and output of messaging that I receive in my fascinating place called my brain. So, so I was paying attention.
And I thank you for that. I also thank you for attending, which always makes me a little bit nervous since you do this professionally as critique speakers. I'm like, shoot, went into the room. I got to be on.
Well, you did a good job, and your slide deck actually was particularly good because you did large call out graphics, which is shouldn't be an art unto itself, but I enjoyed the slide deck because I am uber critical of that, which makes me really nervous when I present because I know how critical I am, and it just manifests the criticality of what's coming at me. So I just had really good-looking pictures in my presentation. Tiffany & Company, Mercedes, Louis Vuitton. I mean, who doesn't like those pictures, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely agree, which is why I think that if I had to look at what could be the most effective way to leverage social media as a recruiting tool, I would say, hire the most attractive people possible as your recruiters and get them in there. So, yeah, no, nothing sells better than aesthetics across the board.
For sure. So let me do a quick reset, everybody. You're listening to Drive Through HR. We're doing a special show with Lake of the Ozark, Missouri State SHRM Conference 2013. Again, thanks to Lori Mayer for bringing us out and being such a good supporter of what we do throughout the years and the conferences, and it's just hopefully we're helping in the social conversation and get the word out about what an amazing state and the practitioners and professions for Missouri. So, and we're on with Kevin Call and guest host Matt Charney. So next question, and it's a big one. No more softballs. Come on now. You guys got to step it up a little bit. So what's a term or a concept or a topically something that you, if you never hear again in HR, you will be a better human being? And I'll throw it to Kevin first.
Oh, I got to think on that. Let's see.
Don't think on it. That starts to make things way like a job. We don't want that.
Yeah, we'll kick it over to Matt, and I'll hear his genius input, and then maybe that'll spark something with me.
Well, I mean, my answer, and we talk about how the conversation's evolved, I'll tell you where it hasn't, is candidate experience. I'm going to go with that. I think that both the advances in technology where I can get what looks to be personalized automated emails from, Ukrainian pharmaceutical vendors, I should be able to scale that with an HRIS. So I don't know why we're still having the conversation when everyone agrees that it's the right thing to do and we have the technology to do it.
Fair enough. Kevin, now that you copped out the first round, what makes you just want, what makes your skin crawl? I mean, literally, kind of makes you throw up a little bit. Or maybe there's nothing. Maybe you have a high level of tolerance for really, really worn out concepts.
Well, I mean, there is a bit of that. I'm pretty easy going, but just general terms, the devil of the details, something as simple as an employee handbook and keeping it updated and doing that type of things. It you got to keep your eye on it, but not overwork it. So, yeah, there.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it was the one thing that really just, I mean, literally, I die inside a little bit is when we have guests on that talk about, use the term, seat at the table.
Yeah, well, that is a donation to the SHRM Foundation, I believe, of $10. I think $10 is the going mention of that. I dropped it, but it's a subquote. But I think it's an important concept. We just need a better phrase for it.
And that was completely for Kevin's partners in crime, both Lori Mayer and Kirstie Jones. So just got to keep it real. So, in all seriousness, for me, it just is it's a very consistent attitude that you hear from really smart people on the no factor. There's no way we could ever do that. There's no way, just hearing the kind of a lack of willingness to take that big risk. I understand it. I get it. We've all been there. But at the end of the day, if you want to change things up, you've got to take some risks with social media. You got to take some risks with maybe having tough culture conversations. there's just some things that you have to do to try and change. And, I mean, is that really hard? Absolutely. It's one of the hardest things ever. And so, you know, again, it just, it doesn't completely wear me out, but I just, it's so much more inspiring and encouraging and fun to be around when people are like, you know, I want to do X, and here's the way I'm thinking about doing it. What do you think? I mean, those are really good conversations. That's my, and to go back to conference-wise, what I love the most about it is absolutely the conversations with the people. I literally, that's probably the one thing, my time being able to sit down with Kevin, with Matt, with Dwayne, with Joe, with, I mean, just all the amazing people and meeting the new people and getting their contribution to the conversation. I mean, that's just, I mean, that's stuff that you can't read anywhere, right? That's not a book. That's not a webinar. That's not a podcast. That's not a, a number one HR global drive-through or HR show. So you can't get any of that. Conversation sitting across from somebody where they look horrified because of something you're thinking about doing, that's real. So that's the kind of feedback so that I like.
Brian, I to kind of piggyback off what you said, I would agree with that and echo that. So let me go back and I'll take away my last comment and say, specifically in these type of environments, because you guys just, you know, you give us some rock solid tools to take back. But what, in basically along the same lines you were saying of, well, that's a great idea, but that's not going to be accepted when I get back to the workplace, or, yeah, that's awesome and that works up on the slide, but it's not, you know, it's not real world. Well, the fact is we're down here and we're talking about real world stuff, and there's just, you know, things that continually get presented that are new and fresh, and if you don't want it and you don't go after it, it's not going to happen. So with the attitude of, well, that's great, you know, it was a great session, but it won't work when I get back to work, because I just need to stop there and just say, we'll make it work. So I kind of echo what you're saying there.
And I think for me, one of the most interesting parts about any state conference, and particularly one that has a heavy vendor presence, I mean, there's a whole separate exhibit hall here, is that you oftentimes, if you study the technology and services space, closely, you generally get the head of product or CEO or someone else who's very, very polished kind of talking through and giving the demo. But what I think is interesting is, you know, the people who generally tend to be working from the exhibitor perspective at these conferences are often, you know, people within, certainly within the larger organizations who are the ones who are on the front lines directly selling to practitioners every day. So it's interesting for me, really, to hear less fluff and more, this is how these products and services are actually being pitched to the end user, is always something that I love, as well as the conversation, you know, with the practitioners. So I think there's value on the vendor side as well.
What have you guys heard on the technology front, kind of social or HR technology front, that has got you, you know, just a little bit excited of late? Has there been anything that's kind of bubbled to the top that maybe listeners should know about? Matt, I'll ask you first.
Yeah, I think that kind of there's a whole category being created around federated search, which is to say that rather than be able to – basically you have an Indeed or a Kayak.com for you know, databases of employee information. So I think that obviously that's the big data thing. But you look at players like Intello and Guild, Dice, OpenWeb. I think this whole category of products that's being created is really, really exciting, because it not only is a great tool for sourcing your own candidates, but also for being able to look within your employee population in a certain way, and being able to see where those gaps are without that layer of having to call their HR business partner and check and see how they're doing and then contact them, et cetera, et cetera. So I think everything in that category is really exciting.
Kevin, what about you?
You know, most recently, one of my clients has switched their server, entire server, over to cloud. So it's that is a really cool concept, and why I like that from the HR side is it gives me a lot of opportunity to get more creative. We're not you know, we're not stuck, so to speak, at the office with that cloud and availability, you know, being remote and having all different kinds of schedules and working with different people and getting talent that may not have been there before is done. And we've added at that particular client, we've added three positions recently that we really wouldn't have been able to do before because it was basically had to be at the office. And the three individuals that were hired, it was not accommodating to their schedule. So just that level of technology and being able to take things more mobile is great. I mean, it's the simplest of things, even, you know, to make a conference more efficient. We've added the app this year to get people around the conference and handouts and things of that nature. But I guess taking the chains of restriction off are going to be a great benefit. And I think it's you know, we've just hit the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective is I kind of like some of the analytics, you know, some of the search tools. I've actually been pleasantly surprised at some of the new, you know, just some of the advances and some of the kind of plug-in technologies. We've had several people on over the last few weeks that are kind of big in sorting through the data and making sense of it very quickly. And that's probably, at the moment, I wouldn't say there's a lot of other things that are popping up that are, like, real groundbreaking that I spend a lot of time with. But so I would agree with you, Matt. I think you're, you know, that's kind of your world. So the only other thing from my perspective is I've been diving into the music technology. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, for whatever reason, this is just completely off topic from HR, but because we have music on the beginning and the end of the show, I can talk about it, right? That sound good?
Fair enough.
And I want to mention my favorite artist right now. I have just been totally immersed in, like, all of her albums, Tristan Prettyman, singer-songwriter. Nobody's usually heard of her. Dated Jason Mraz, I mean, way back when. And so, anyway, that's who I'm following. So that's my music contribution. You need to Google her, check her out. Fantastic. And this way I'll be able to tweet about her to try and get her to follow me on Instagram and Twitter because I talked about her on the show. So you see how that works? It's a complex matrix, I might add.
You know, probably towing the line on some sort of stalking. So that was well done. I'll check her out. I'll be Spotify'd, sir.
Stalking and enthusiastically following are a fine line. I will give you that.
Absolutely. So. If you could please tell that to the Circuit Court of Los Angeles, I would really appreciate that and get me out of some trouble.
Like, I enthusiastically follow Kevin Call and all his social efforts. And so, yeah. Well, guys, we just got a minute or two left here. It's coming pretty quick. So how can people connect with both of you? And thank you both for being on with me. Kevin, so you go first. Sorry.
You can follow me on Twitter at @kcallstl.
And my name is Matt Charney. That's spelled Charney. There's this also cool technology called Google. If you do that, you'll be able to find any information I have. Extra points if you can find my phone number off of the Spokio PFPL.
Gotcha. And how do you spell that technology?
PIPL.com, GOOGLE.com. Start there, and there I am.
Got it. Yeah, we're definitely everybody who's got a fairly big content, curated content presence online, to use Mr. Charney's, some of his lingo in the content marketing world there. So, Anisha, you're kind of on the back end running this whole thing for us remote. So, let's roll with the music. We're out, folks.